The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Welcome to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Hey, Junior, how you doing today?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. We're always good, aren't we? Sort of.
Yeah. It's rare. I'm having a bad day. I'm usually in a pretty good mood, so.
Yeah. Well, good. Good. Yeah. Well, it's I can't believe it's nearly the middle of November already. Where does the time go? It flies, right?
I have no idea. Like I was just thinking about that the other day because my wife is already done with her, Christmas shopping. I haven't even started yet. Yeah. She was telling me the other day, oh yeah, I'm all done. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's that time of year already.
Wow.
So yeah, she's good about it. I haven't even thought about it, to be honest.
Well, I've bought a couple of things, but I buy stuff all year long.
That's what she does. That's exactly what she does. That must be a female thing, maybe.
Must be a girl thing.
Yeah, I don't know any guys that do that. Yeah, most of my guy friends are like me and just forget about it.
No, I know, right? And whatever works for you, right?
Yeah.
I know people that go Christmas shopping like the night before Christmas
Eve. That's me.
Yeah. Okay, I know you. There you go. There's case in point.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have a fantastic show today, you guys. I'm going to introduce Jared Ramirez here in just a second, but we've got Chris Wark at the half. He's a guy that wrote the book, Chris Beat Cancer, A Comprehensive Plan for Healing Naturally. Can't wait to talk to him. He's got a new cookbook coming out, too. So we're gonna talk to him and see how he survived cancer. And now he's an advocate, a patient advocate. So great to have him on the show, and always great to have Jared Ramirez on the show. He is the CEO of Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, and a sponsor of One Life Radio. Enviromedica is a natural health and wellness company founded in 2007, inspired by nature and ancestral health. They make premium foundational products to support whole body nutrition and help people achieve optimal health. Their Terraflora Deep Immune Symbiotic is the 2021 Nexi Award winner for Best New Product, supporting a healthy microbiome by Natural Products Expo. And today we're going to be talking about the immune system and gut health. Jared, how have you been? I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Weather is holding very strong for almost middle of November, like you said. So
yeah. Well, our immune system, the winter's coming. It's fall. The weather's getting cold. We're not getting as much sunshine. We really need to be protecting our immune system and building it up. So we've heard that over 70% of our immune system resides in the gut. But what does that actually mean, Jared?
Yeah, good question. That's there's actually a very literal description of that. So lymphoid tissue is the largest. So it's the gut-associated lymphoid tissue, which is also called GALT, it's the largest mass of lymphoid tissue in the body. So like as a proportion of immune tissue that resides in our gut, that represents the largest quantity within the body.
Well, so I never lymphoid tissue. So what is that? Is it in the whole body or just in the gut?
So there, everybody's familiar with lymph nodes.
Right.
Lymph nodes produce immune type cells, and so it's kind of broadly referred to as gut associated lymphoid tissue, right? So it's immune type tissue that resides in our gut, and as a kind of a production factory of immune type cells, lymphoid tissue is responsible for the mass production of these immune type cells in the body. And so the largest proportion of this tissue exists in the human gut and along the GI tract.
I never knew that. Like you said, you always hear about your lymph nodes, are they swollen? Do you have swollen glands? Or when someone gets cancer, right, has it gone to their lymph nodes, right? That are nodes.
Yep.
I don't know. Yep. Is it nodes or nodes?
Nodes. And it, you know, I was formulating a response to that, and I'm like, how do I explain this in a way that's you know not overly scientific? And you know, again, the bottom line is that when we're talking about tissues in our body, cellular tissue in our body that produces immune type cells, the gut is the largest repository of this type of tissue, right?
Wow.
So it's the biggest producer of immune type cells in the body. And those cells can range from macrophages to B cells to antibodies to, I mean, virtually everything is produced in the gut with respect to the immune system.
Wow. And so many people abuse their gut, don't they? I mean,
more than should. Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Well, yeah, and we're talking about, I introduced already, we're going to be talking with Chris Wark at the half about how he beat cancer. He had colon cancer, and it was all about the diet. Most of it was about the nutrition and the diet that he wasn't getting and the, you know, probiotics that you get from taking a good probiotic like Terraflora. All those things matter, don't they, Jared?
100%. Diet, lifestyle, probiotic supplements in general. Anything that's passing through the gut exerts some sort of action in the gut, right, or on the gut.
Right.
And so, you know, my viewpoint, and this is, you know, well-founded in the literature, I mean, colon cancer, I think, is largely attributed to some type of dysregulation within the gut microenvironment that exists there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and things like, so we're talking about GALT, and then dysbiosis. That's another modern diet and lifestyle, lack of routine exposure, right, to environmental microbes that can create a microbiome imbalance, right, in the gut. Same thing.
Sure. I mean, I tend to stress diet more, you know, put more emphasis on diet than anything else. I mean, that's going to have the largest impact on the health of the gut. But yes, probiotic supplements do also come into play. And you know, just kind of like as a counterpoint, you know, there's studies where they take germ-free mice, where they're basically animals that are void of microbiological populations in their gut, and you can see a marked decline in their immune system tolerance and their and how robust their immune system is. So our relation to our external world and our environment from a kind of a microbiological level is very intimate. I mean, we've evolved with these microbes since we were, single cells. So
wow. Well, so, oh my gosh, so many questions I want to ask you. When I was reading about this yesterday, I'd never heard of it. And galactosemia? So galactosemia is a disease that comes from gut-associated lymphoid tissue that's not functioning well. Is that correct?
I'm actually not familiar with that term. I'm not familiar with that term. I feel like that's a hereditary disorder from what
it is.
But it can
be controlled, and the disease or the symptoms of the disease can be lessened by taking care of your gut and your diet and eating well.
Of that, I have no doubt. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I you know, over time, I think that just through my own personal experience and my own life, I've, you know, for right or wrong, I've discovered that through careful care of my own gut and my own microbiome, that I can get away with, you know, a lot more than what I would normally be able to get away with. So it's kind of a broad insurance policy for my health and well-being to make sure that my gut and my microbiome is cared for in the proper way.
Yeah, no, it's critical. It's critical. I mean, your gut microbiome, it's funny how we really thought that this was, you know, wacky science 10, 15 years ago, and now look at us. I mean, like everybody talks about it. It is the most important part, as you said, of keeping your immune system healthy, is keeping your gut healthy.
It is, and in fact, you know, it's you know, science is funny, right? I mean, I, you know, for, gosh, decades, we thought the appendix was a useless piece of tissue that was, you know, kind of haphazardly extracted from humans. And, you know, rightly so. I mean, it's caused a lot of issues. I had appendicitis, actually, when I was in high school, and it was pretty severe. I ended up in the hospital for a number of days.
Wow.
But now, you know, and these are studies that have come out in the last 5-6 years, you know, so this is still very more of a recent revelation in terms of, you know, scientific timelines. But the appendix is actually part of this gut-associated lymphoid tissue. So it's not a rudimentary organ, but it's actually an important part of the immune system. And just kind of a fun side fact is that they science now believes, and I actually think this is a very logical explanation, that the appendix serves as a safe house for protecting beneficial bacteria during infection and then subsequent repopulation of the gut after, you know, you have some laxative event in the gut, you know, where the, you know, you have diarrhea or whatever it may be to purge that. And then the appendix serves as a kind of repository for those beneficial bacteria to then make their way back into the gut.
Yeah, you're lucky they didn't remove your appendix. That used to be just,
oh, no,
you know.
They right? definitely removed mine.
They did? Okay.
I mine ruptured and I...
Oh, boy.
It was a pretty big deal. I would have died without emergency intervention there. So, yeah.
Wow. I never knew any of that about the appendix, this new research and findings. Didn't know about any of it. It's always great to talk with you. I always learn stuff when I'm on the air with you, and I know our listeners do too. I'm looking at the clock, though. We're going to go for a quick break. We'll be right back. More coming up with Jared Ramirez. We're talking about the immune system and gut health, brought to you by EnviroMedica. We will be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
Hey everyone, there's a chill in the air, which means fall and football are here. And nothing tastes better when you're watching the game than a great tasting holiday beverage. So we have some great news. The makers of Sun Warrior plant-based protein have now made your favorite holiday drinks even better by making them delicious and good for you. Sun Warrior has added 2 all-time favorite holiday flavors to 2 of their best-selling products to create the Pumpkin Spice Warrior Blend Protein and Peppermint Bark Collagen Building Protein Peptides. Grab your ice shaker and mix these 2 with your favorite warm or cold beverage to create a healthy holiday drink. The price-friendly introductory sizes will only be available for a limited time, so order yours today, starting October 5th at sunwarrior.com/OLR. They are the perfect stocking stuffer. Combine them with an ice shaker and you've got the ideal health-minded holiday gift. Visit sunwarrior.com and iceshaker.com to check out all of their amazing products. Happy holidays from Sun Warrior, Ice Shaker, and One Life Radio.
Celebrating 10 years on the air. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Jared Ramirez. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you're just now joining us, Jared Ramirez is the CEO of EnviroMedica, makers of TerraFlora, and a sponsor of One Life Radio. EnviroMedica is a natural health and wellness company founded in 2007, inspired by nature and ancestral health. They make premium foundational products to support whole body nutrition and help people achieve optimal health. Their TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic is the 2021 NEXTY Award winner for the best new product supporting a healthy gut microbiome by the Natural Products Expo. You can visit them at EnviroMedica.com. That's EnviroMedica.com. We're talking with Jared about the immune system and gut health. So, Jared, what causes an inflammatory response in the gut?
So that can be any number of things. I mean, if we're talking acute inflammatory response, you know, that could be something like food poisoning, right? So there's specific microbes that trigger, that basically release what are called, I won't get into the science about it. They release toxins in the gut, which cause problems for humans. And so that can be an acute inflammatory response. Acute inflammatory responses can also be triggered by certain foods that somebody may have a allergy to. That's another aspect there. But most inflammation that we're talking about in the gut, at least you know, on an ongoing basis, is going to be a chronic inflammation, and that's the most insidious type of inflammation because it's something, you know, the human body, humans in general, we're always trying to seek balance, so homeostasis, right? The body is incredibly resilient, right? And we're very adaptive as a species, right? We can live in all different sorts of climates and all different sorts of conditions with all different sorts of, you know, food intakes and still survive. And I say survive, right? Like the not thrive, okay? There's a big difference between those two.
Right.
And so this low-level chronic inflammation that we're talking about, at least in Western industrialized societies, and, you know, a la the U.S., is typically from our dietary patterns and habits, right? Ultra-processed foods, refined seed oils, excessive sugar consumption, all of the kind of insidious chemicals and preservatives, and these things all have a huge aggregate effect on the human body, and typically that manifests in a chronic inflammatory condition in the gut. And there's still, even within that chronic inflammation, there's going to be a spectrum of you know, severity, right?
Right.
And so you could have a low level, very low level chronic inflammation that takes, you know, decades to manifest as something. You could have something more severe. And it also kind of ties back to the resilience of the person, right? So certain people are affected more than others, right? I mean, you know, we all know people out there that can, you know, eat things that, you know, that are arguably pretty damaging for others to eat, right? You know, I can... you know, I have some friends who can crush a half pizza on their own, and, you know, I even look at a slice and I get a stomach ache, you know, so I think it's all
funny.
It's all relative to the person, right? But
right.
But yeah, chronic inflammation is really what most people need to focus on, and I would also add to that, you know, and I've found this to be true in my own life, that the more resilience that you build into the human gut in terms of taking care of your microbiome, taking care of your dietary inputs, right? The much lower chance there is for an acute inflammatory response,
right?
So even like just using food poisoning as an example, you know, I'm sure we can all talk about it, a time when we all went out to dinner, we all had similar foods. Some people got food poisoning, some people didn't.
Right.
Well, why
have you
is
ever
that?
Have you ever had food poisoning? It's brutal.
Oh, I have. I have a long. It's been a long time.
Me too.
Time I had it was from a Brazilian steakhouse, and I was just ruined for a good 2 days.
Oh yeah, it's crazy how sick you can get. You go from feeling like you're gonna die, and then when it's over, it's like what happened? You know, you. It's extreme.
I agree. But my point was basically that, you know, and this ties up to anything that you do in life, the more resilient you can make yourself, your body, the more you're ready to be resilient to challenges, acute challenges that are when they present, right? You know, it's kind of like I would, you know, draw it back to something more simplistic, right? Well, improving your muscle mass, right? Like doing resistance training will improve your recovery rate if you go into surgery, for example, right? These things all, you know, and the same thing with the human gut. The more you take care of your gut, your gut system and your microbiome that lies within it, the much less the much smaller the chance is that you'll have some type of acute situation in the future, right? So food poisoning being, again, an example everybody can relate to. Well, these microbes, you know, if you have an abundance of healthy microbes, healthy beneficial bacteria in your gut, those can typically, in a lot of cases, they do have the ability to outcompete pathogens, right? It's mm-hmm. If you think of it like a garden, you know, if you keep that garden lush and healthy, the less opportunity there is for pathogens to infiltrate and cause issues.
No, absolutely. So what are the biggest triggers for inflammation? One of them has to be stress and diet. What are some other ones?
Diet is really at the top of the list there. I'm going to say diet's number one. And I'll kind of loop an environment into that, especially in the context of, and how our food is taken care of, you know, and the chemicals and different things that end up in our food system as a factor of environment.
Yeah.
Stress is also, of course, in there. Sleep is a great mitigation tool for all different types of things. I mean, that's really when a lot of magic happens in human biology, and so sleep can act as a great offset for that. It's not to overly simplify things, but yeah, diet, stress, sleep, sunlight, like these things are all very impactful.
Oh, yeah. And prescription medications. How many people out there listening
now
are on prescription medications? Some of them they can't help. They have to take them. But that disrupts the gut tremendously.
100%. Actually, I'll just reference one, which is just such a it's really a crime that this is not being discussed more openly. But proton pump inhibitors are a really big, a huge, huge issue. A lot of people suffer from reflux, so acid reflux. It's also called GERD, and it can be quite damaging. Typically, that is related to a lack of proper acidity in the gut, right? Mm-hmm. And so proton pump inhibitors actually dial that back even further. But what's not well understood is that, when you reduce that acidity in the gut, a lot of really deleterious effects happen downstream. That your stomach acid is really a first line of defense from pathogens, right? So when you reduce that acidity with certain drugs and proton pump inhibitors specifically, you allow certain things to then bypass that barrier and reach your lower GI, which can be problematic.
Yeah, no, I never knew that. I'm so glad. I love the information that we get out when we're on the air with you, Jared. You really, you're like the gut encyclopedia walking around. But can gut inflammation weaken our immune system? How does that happen?
It does, yeah. And this, again, the interaction between our kind of the macro environment in the gut, so all of our microbes and foodstuffs and everything that's happening within their fatty acid production, all of that interacts with the gut-associated lymphoid tissue that we talked about previously. So that, we'll just call it immune-type tissue, right? So that all interacts with our immune-type tissue. When you have an inflammatory, whether it be chronic or acute, an inflammatory state within your gut, literally, like biologically sitting next to 70% of your immune system. Okay. I think just from a logical point of view, you're going to have a negative, your immune system is not going to be in an optimal state. Right. So, and that's kind of a broad view. I mean, there's other, viewpoints in terms of the microbiome and how it interacts with our immune system within the gut. I keep bringing it back to this very, broad view, because I don't want your listeners to get lost in the weeds, like talking about certain immune cell types and whatnot. It's really just important to focus on whole nutrient-dense foods, to abstain from ultra-processed foods as much as possible, avoid sugars, avoid chemicals, avoid things that are just, they're not natural to our environment. They're not natural to our body to be exposed to. And so to limit that as much as possible and to supplement with probiotics as you can. And that's, I think that's a good start.
Well, yeah, no, and you just answered one of my questions, but and then, you know, the GAPS diet. You know, a lot of people are on the GAPS diet. They believe in the GAPS diet for having the best gut microbiome health, if you will, and the strongest immune system. What do you say about the GAPS diet? What do you? I don't know a lot about it. I read about it years ago, and I've kind of forgotten it, but what do we need to know about that?
Yeah, so I mean, GAPS is a very specific, methodical approach, and GAPS is an acronym for gut and psychology syndrome, and it's basically was a diet that kind of brought it was an earlier in this kind of scientific process, right, where mm-hmm. it was brought to the forefront that hey, you know, what we eat affects our cognitive behavior and our psychology, right, and so that's a diet specifically. And it's fairly regimented. You know, I'm not of the mindset that there's a one diet that suits everybody. I think it's an iteration of basically caring for the microbiome through diet, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. and its influence. You know, it's the understanding that our gut and the health of our gut influences our mind and the rest of our body as well. But I think that there's, you know, I don't follow GAPS. I've never followed GAPS. I know plenty of people that do follow GAPS and have been successful with it, but I don't mm-hmm. think it's a one size fits all.
Yeah, no, I would agree. What I know about it, and it's Natasha McBride Campbell, I believe, is the one that wrote the first book about it.
Yeah, brilliant woman. Absolutely.
A brilliant woman. Yeah, she was at the Weston A. Price via. You know, satellite, not live through video. She did a speaking event at the Weston A. Price Foundation over the weekend here in Dallas, and I didn't see it, but I heard it was just astounding. She's got a brilliant mind, and so do you. Just by the way,
I appreciate that. Yeah.
I just love being on the air and like getting all nerdy talking about all this stuff. I can't get enough of it. But you know, it's always great, and I want to give a shout out for the product Immuniflora with the LC Plasma. That's what I've been using recently. I don't know why. I just, you know, thought I'm going to put some extra, you know, punch in my gut. Give it a little more strength. What do you want to tell people about that particular product?
I've been exposed to a lot of scientific literature with respect to the gut microbiome and the interaction of gut microflora as it relates to our immune system. And I have to say, there's a specific strain of bacteria that's utilized in that product and also our Terraflora Deep Immune. I have not yet seen anything that provides such a robust, broad immune support. It's really interesting. There's dozens of clinical scientific papers supporting the efficacy of this ingredient, this product for support of the immune system. And I can't say enough about it. So
yeah, no, me either. I love it. I love taking it. I just feel good, you know, when I take my probiotics regularly. I just feel better. And of course, I use Enviromedica. I have for years, long before you were a sponsor of One Life Radio. That's how we kind of got connected. But it's great to have you on the show always. I look forward to talking to you again here in the next couple of weeks. Jared Ramirez, everyone, visit him at Enviromedica.com, or visit them, I should say. You're not the only one running the company, right? As the CEO. Yo, though, you're pretty busy. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, always great, Jared. Take care. Have a great rest of your week, and thanks for jumping on the air with us today.
Thank you, Bernadette.
You're welcome. Everyone, I encourage you to go to Enviromedica.com, and we will be right back. We've got Chris Wark coming up. He wrote the book, Chris Beat Cancer, A Comprehensive Plan for Healing Naturally. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
Hey everyone, I've got some fabulous news. Castor and Pollux, a brand that I've used for years, has joined us as our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. Castor and Pollux is the maker of America's number one organic pet food. Their Organics line of recipes is the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. And their pristine recipes are made with responsibly sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef. Castor and Pollux is the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful pet food, setting the new standard in pet nutrition. Shop and order online at CastorPollux.com. That's CastorPollux.com. Or find it at Whole Foods, Natural Grocers, Sprouts, or Central Market.
10 years of positivity on your radio. This is One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. I'm so happy to introduce Chris Wark. He is a young adult cancer survivor, best-selling author, and patient advocate. Chris was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer in 2003 at just 26 years old. After surgery, Chris made the decision to go against his doctor's advice, opt out of chemotherapy, and chose to choose nutrition and natural therapies to heal himself. 6 years later, in 2010, Chris began sharing his story of faith, courage, and determination, and his message of hope that chronic diseases like cancer can be prevented and reversed with a radical transformation of diet and lifestyle. He is the author of the book that I'm holding in my hand right now that we are about to talk about today, Chris Beat Cancer, A Comprehensive Plan for Healing Naturally. His website is chrisbeatcancer.com or on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Chris Beat Cancer. Such an honor and a pleasure to introduce you. Chris, welcome to One Life Radio.
He's not on hold yet.
Oh, dog.
I text
it,
you. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get it. I was too busy reading.
Yeah. His assistant is trying to get a hold of him now, but he did not
okay.
answer.
Well, that happens. Well, I got to tell you, his book is amazing, and I have not read the whole thing, but what I have read is just astounding. He's going to talk about a lot of really incredible stuff when we get him on the air, which hopefully will be soon. I just wasn't expecting it, so just let me know when he's back on, and we'll talk about it.
Yep, I'll let you know in 1 second.
Okay, let me know. Okay, so, you know, I don't know, you know, what I want to talk about. Let me just peruse through this book and see what I land on. Okay, so here's one, and a lot of people don't think about this. When I read this, I was like, oh my gosh, I never thought about that, really, but it's cancer drugs can cause cancer. He goes on to write that many chemotherapy drugs are carcinogenic, which means that they can cause new cancers in the body. Other chemo drugs, while not directly cancer-causing, can severely damage your immune system, which, of course, we were just talking about with Jared Ramirez, which can give existing cancers the opportunity to spread rapidly, and that some of the chemotherapy drugs identified as carcinogenic by the U.S. National Toxicology Programs are, oh boy, now we go into all these drugs that, whew,
he's on
okay.
hold.
Is he on hold?
Yes.
He's there? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
You saved me from having to read a bunch of long, complex prescription drug names. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, I'm doing well. I just know I'm going to love talking to you. I already just can feel the vibe from your book. It's so tremendously, it's written so well. It really is. So let's dive into it. Chris, I already read your bio, so everybody, you're set up well here. So what is it like to get stage 3 cancer, a diagnosis like that, at the age of 26? And also, was this type of cancer rare for your age group?
It is rare, for sure. But let me just say this. Colon cancer is on the rise in young adults. It's one of the fastest growing segments of cancer.
Really?
Young adult colon cancer. Yes. And this is because of our diet. The standard American diet, the Western diet, is a diet that promotes cancer and especially colon cancer. So I certainly got it early at 26, and yeah, it was super scary, but I'm not sure it was scarier than cancer at any other age.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of a diagnosis is terrible. And it's a shock to your system. I mean, a cancer diagnosis is so traumatic that patients often suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, from PTSD,
yeah,
after the diagnosis, because it's that traumatic.
Yeah, it's I can't imagine. I've never gotten that diagnosis, but at 26 too, you know, you're still, you know, pretty young. That's pretty young, you know.
Yeah. Yes,
I have a daughter 25. I mean, I would be devastated to have her get that kind of news. You know, and I had a my eldest sister died of colon cancer in her early 50s just a few years ago. And
wow.
But you know what, Chris, like you said, guess where she ate all the time? Guess where she used to eat all the time? Just a wild guess.
I'm gonna give a wild McDonald's guess.
There you go. Yep, she was a regular at McDonald's. She loved McDonald's, and you know, and I do believe that it contributed that and many other things, stress and a lot of other things. But her diet was the main thing, because colon cancer never ran in our family. You know, we're an Italian family. We eat really well, and my father was always, and my mother, but my father especially, was very focused on the quality of food that we ate. And so I agree with you 100%. So, you know, when you first got that diagnosis and you were devastated, what did you do next?
Well, I was a very typical cancer patient. I had a colonoscopy. They found this tumor because I'd been having abdominal pain. And let me just say this too. They recommend you get a colonoscopy at age 45. That's mm-hmm. all adults. They've just lowered it from age 50 to age 45 because of stories like your sister's, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If they had done a screening for her at age 45, they might have caught it early. And if they catch a polyp early, which is just a tiny little bump in your colon, they can snip it off, and you will never develop colon cancer, right? They get it before it gets big enough to be a problem. So I want to encourage that, to get screened if you're over 45. And if you have family history, you can get screening at a younger age and hopefully covered by insurance as well.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I, you know, they found this golf ball sized tumor in my large intestine. They said, you need surgery. I was rushed into surgery, really not knowing what to expect. I woke up after surgery and was told it was worse than they thought, stage 3C. And then I would need 9 to 12 months of chemotherapy. And that was a pretty, you know, pretty dismal report. When I got home from surgery, I didn't have a good feeling about chemotherapy. I knew it was toxic. I knew, you know, it just made you really sick. And I'd never had any family members go through it, so I hadn't really seen it firsthand, but I'd seen advanced cancer patients out in the world, right? I'd seen mm-hmm. humans in that state, and you know, and I knew that chemo did that to them.
Yeah.
And so I had this resistance to this idea that I needed to poison my way back to health, you know, and I just thought there's got to be another way besides chemotherapy. And I prayed and I just said, God, if there's another way, please show me, you know. And 2 days later, I got a book that was written by a man who had healed his colon cancer with food, with nutrition. Not just by eating a little healthier, but with a radical change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I completely believe in that. I mean, you hear stories over and over again, and you know, we don't have as much time as I'd like. You're going to have to come back for the full hour, and you've got a new cookbook coming out. We're going to cover your book in depth, because I feel that the information that you're putting out in this wonderful book that you wrote, Chris Beat Cancer: A Comprehensive Plan for Healing Naturally, is profound, and people need to know about it. People need to read this book that maybe got that diagnosis, or maybe even not, that want to be preventative, right? Because you can prevent cancer.
Yeah, and my message is one of hope, and that is that cancer can be prevented and healed. The
right.
body creates it. The body can heal it if given the proper nutrients and care. And there's so much that a person can do to help themselves lower their risk of cancer or help themselves increase their risk of survival if they've had a diagnosis. And that's what Chris Beat Cancer, the book, is about, and my new cookbook, Beat Cancer Kitchen. That's what it's all about, eating for optimal health and healing.
I love it. I love the message. And so why did you make the decision to heal yourself naturally rather than go with the doctor's recommendation, particularly chemotherapy? What was your gut telling you?
Well, you know, I wanted to build my body up. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to change my life. I wanted to build my body up. I wanted to flood my body with nutrition and give it everything that it needed to heal, because I believed that healing was possible. That was really the linchpin of everything I did. Started with that one belief that I could heal. And so I was much more excited about doing those things than I was about being injected with a highly toxic cocktail of chemicals that mm-hmm. We know now can contribute to more aggressive cancer,
obviously causes head-to-toe collateral damage from your brain, liver, lung. You know, it, just chemotherapy is a paradox. It's a double-edged sword because, yes, it'll kill cancer cells, but it also kills your immune system.
Yeah.
And when the chemo is over, your immune system is decimated, and in most cases, you still have cancer stem cells that the chemo did not kill, and they become more aggressive. So now you've got a, the problem's worse. You've got a more aggressive cancer and no immune system to fight it off. And that's why we see cancer spread so fast after chemotherapy, usually within a month or two or 6 months after chemo, right? We've all heard those stories of people that we love who had chemo and they said, we got it all, you're cancer free. And then a few months later, it's like, uh-oh, you've got spots in your liver and your lungs and your bones.
Yeah. No, I lost my best friend to cancer around 6 months, the same time I lost my sister. I never told her that my sister died. When she asked, I would say, oh, she's doing better, because I didn't want to discourage her. But yeah, she had passed 6 months before my friend did. And it's just crazy. And when we get back, I'll share a little snippet of it. I don't want to take any more of your time. I want to hear what you have to say. But we'll be right back, everyone. Stay tuned. More coming up with Chris Wark. He is the author of Chris Beat Cancer, A Comprehensive Plan for Healing Naturally. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
We have an exciting announcement to make. Jared Ramirez, our on-air microbiome expert and his team at Enviromedica, took home the 2021 Nexty Award for Best New Product Supporting a Healthy Microbiome. The Nexty Awards recognize the most progressive, innovative, inspiring, and trustworthy products in the natural products industry. We've always known about their TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. It provides broad-spectrum gut health support while strengthening the body's adaptive response to immune challenges. It is a completely elevated gut immune system support product, a perfect welcome addition to your supplement routine. Visit Enviromedica.com to learn more and order your TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. Congratulations, Enviromedica.
A decade of educating and learning. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Chris Wark. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you're just now joining us, Chris Wark is a young adult cancer survivor, best-selling author, and patient advocate. He wrote the book, Chris Beat Cancer, A Comprehensive Plan for Healing Naturally. And we're just talking about his journey of what happened to him. And so, you know, right before the break, we were talking about why did you make the decision to heal yourself naturally rather than go with the doctor's recommendations, particularly chemotherapy. Any more thoughts on that particular question that you want to share with the audience, Chris?
Well, obviously, I go into a lot of detail about exactly what I did and why I did it in my first book, Chris Beat Cancer. But, you know, just to summarize again, I knew there were things that were wrong in my life that I needed to change and that I could change. And once I got this spark of inspiration and hope from another man who had healed his colon cancer, that was really all I needed to sort of get me going on, you know, getting busy changing my life.
Well, you know,
I believed I could get well.
You believed what? I'm sorry.
That I could get well.
Yeah, and that's important, isn't it? That's one of the most critical pieces, right? Is believing and having faith in whoever it is you believe in, or whatever your strength, whatever, whoever you believe is that supreme being in your life, whether it's Mother Nature or God, right? But believing in them to give you the power and the courage to continue on and find wellness again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, faith was a big part of my healing journey, but I, you know, again, I believed in the body's self-healing capability, that your body creates cancer and your body can heal it. But, you know, I had this epiphany, which was the way you're living is killing you. And once I realized, okay, wait a second, maybe this is my fault and it's okay, right? If it's my fault, it's okay. And that's actually good news, because that means I can change my life. If I contributed to my illness, then maybe I can contribute to my wellness.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
That's what I set about to do. And it wasn't like I could fix my whole life in one day, but it was a process, and it started with a radical diet change. So I went from eating the standard American diet, tons of junk, dairy, sugar, salt, and oils, to eating a diet that was 100% raw fruits and vegetables.
Yeah. What else
and
did you...
That is a massive shift.
Oh, yeah. So you were just eating a lot of junk before at 26 years old. That's a typical diet, right? If somebody young, they think they're going to live forever. They don't even think about it, right? They think, oh, I can do whatever I want. And,
sure.
And
most young people can get away with it. They usually don't get cancer at 26. But a lot of people, they're eating that way. They do struggle with low energy. They have acne. They may develop prediabetes, or they may be overweight. They may have elevated blood pressure, autoimmune issues. So, you know, there's a host of chronic diseases that will manifest typically in the body before a cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
And again, young people's bodies are much more resilient. Usually these issues don't show up until your late 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What do you believe are some of the most dangerous cancer-causing agents in our environment today, Chris?
You know, probably one of the worst is glyphosate. From Roundup, which they're mm-hmm. spraying on most conventionally grown crops. And so I converted to an all-organic diet. That was really important because I wanted to eliminate my exposure to toxic pesticides, fungicides, herbicides, right? All these chemicals that they're spraying on our food. And when you eat organic, you drop your exposure to those toxic chemicals dramatically. And it's not, you know, there are definitely studies linking glyphosate to lymphoma, for example.
Oh, yeah.
But generally, it's this toxic soup, right? So we've mm-hmm. got all these agricultural chemicals in our food. We've got artificial chemicals and additives put in fast food. So flavors, colors, additives, preservatives. Right? These are all random chemicals that have never been tested together.
Right.
They've never been tested for a synergistic toxic effect in the human body. They're just tested individually in lab rats, and they say, okay, well, seems okay in these rats. I guess we can put it in food so it'll last longer on the shelf.
I love it. I love your sense of humor about this, too, and your delivery. You're so eloquent when you're speaking about this, and you know, you can hear in your voice the passion of how just, you know, of what you've been through and how you've become this, you know, patient advocate now. And there's the music. It started. I cannot wait to have you back. Going to have you back for the whole hour, and we're going to talk about your new cookbook. How does that sound to you?
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Me too. You were great. And Chris Wark, everyone, I encourage you to get a copy of his book, Chris Beat Cancer. It's his first one. He's got a cookbook coming out, and he's got another book. What was the name of the other book, real quick, Chris?
Brand new book comes out November 16th. It's a cookbook called Beat Cancer Kitchen.
Right, but you wrote another one, but we'll talk about it next time. I guess I've got to go, or we're going to get cut off. Everyone, I'll find out. I'll talk about it tomorrow, maybe. But I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life.